Thank you, David. And again, thank all of you for being here this morning. And it is a great day to be able to come together and worship our Lord and our God. The cooler weather certainly is conducive to being able to do that. And for all of you who may be visiting with us, we hope that our service today will be encouraging and uplifting and motivating to you to be drawn closer to our Lord and to our Master. How many of you know that the human body is a wondrous thing? It is. You know what's so special about the human body, and we're going to talk about that today, the seven wonders of the human body. And why it is so important is because in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of God?" Now, I know that you have a living soul. You certainly are aware of that. And one of these days, this body will deteriorate. It will be placed in the heart of Mother Earth. But that body will come forth according to the book of John, chapter 5, 28 and 29. But according to the book of 1 Corinthians 15, it will be changed to an immortal state. Now, to tell you exactly what we're going to look like then, I can't tell you that. Even John says, "Brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he comes, we shall be like him." But the body that we now have is a body that was fashioned by our God and in his likeness. For God said, "Let us," that is the Elohim, the three in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, the God, the Holy Spirit, "let us make man in our image after our own likeness." Now, God fashioned us with an eternal spirit, but he gave all of us the body that we have. How many of you like your body? Not very many. I'm telling you, folks, you ought to be appreciative of your body. You should. You know, the body is getting old. Some of you are getting older. You are. You know, but you know what? We never outgrow our need for love and appreciation. I heard about a man named George one time who was 92. And his friend Edith, she was 89. They were all excited about their upcoming marriage because they had decided even at 92 and 89 that they needed love. But they knew that their human bodies were deteriorating, that they were getting a little old. They went for a stroll one afternoon to discuss their wedding, and on the way, they passed a drugstore. George suggested that they go in, and he addresses the man behind the counter. And he says, "Are you the owner?" And the pharmacist said, "Yes." He says, "Well, we're about to get married. I know we're old, but we're about to get married. Do you sell heart medication?" "Of course we do," he said. "Well, how about support hose for circulation?" "Well, we sure do." "Well, what about medication for rheumatism and osteoporosis and arthritis?" He said, "We sell all kinds." He said, "Do you sell Depends?" He said, "Absolutely." "Do you sell hearing aids? Do you sell walkers? Do you sell wheelchairs? Canes?" He said, "Sir, we sell all of that. But why are you asking me those questions?" He says, "Well, Edith here and I would like to make you our bridal registry." You know, the human body is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It is. I want to talk to you this morning about the seven wonders of the human body. And the reason this is so spiritual is because God made the human body. Now, you've been told all your life that we have five senses, that is sight, smell, touch, taste, hearing. But are there really just five? How could I possibly speak on seven if there are just five? No, there are more. There are. There are at least seven that I want to share with you this morning. I first of all want to tell you what David said in Psalms 139, verse 13 and 14 regarding the human body. He says, "For you, O God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." He said, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O God, and that my soul knows very well." Notice what David said, that I am wonderfully and fearfully made. You see, God is the God of wonders, isn't he? When you really stop and think about it, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and verse 1. And the wonders of God reveal the glory of God. David said in Psalms 19, he says, "What the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork." Now, let me share with you what I consider to be the seven wonders of the human body. Number one, you have the ability to see this morning. Maybe you don't see as clearly as you would like to see. Maybe your eyes do not do what they used to do. Maybe you have to wear glasses. Maybe you had cataract surgery and now you could toss the glasses away. Well, that's a wonderful thing. But I can tell you one thing for sure, that the ability to see, and I saw that, I don't know what it is. I don't know whether you're looking at a racehorse or a raccoon. But I know one thing, this lady likes eyeshadow. But you know what? What really is important in life is the fact that we can see. Do you know that the total of blind people in the USA is 7,358,400? That represents 2.3% of the people who live in America are blind. And if you can see today, praise God, because 90% of the world's visually impaired live in developing nations. You and I live in the great United States of America. 82% of those people living with blindness are 50 years old and older. I don't know how much you appreciate the ability to open your eyes in the morning and see the dawn of a new day. You know, we talk about blindness all the time, don't we? People have blindness. People can't see. But I'm going to tell you something worse than physical blindness, and that is spiritual blindness. There are people who are blinded by Satan himself. And the Bible tells us, do not be deceived. If you were to read Matthew 24, Jesus said, many deceivers have gone out into the world. In the book of Matthew 24, verse 11, verse 24, in that entire chapter, Jesus warns us about deception, spiritual deception. And then in the book of Ephesians 4 and verse 18, Paul says that many were being darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them. Now listen to this. Because of the hardness of their hearts. He goes on to talk about the fact that Satan has blinded their eyes that they might see. But you and I ought to be like David, who said in Psalms 119 and 18, "Open my eyes, O God, that I may see the wondrous things out of your law." You know, if a person is blind physically today, he may not be able to help that. But if a person is blind spiritually, he has allowed himself to be blind. And there is something that you can do to correct your spiritual blindness. Jesus was concerned about the human body. That's why he went about, just like he did in John chapter 9, giving sight to the blind. There was a man who had been born blind. And the disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, why was this man born blind? Was it the fault of himself or was it the fault of his parents?" You see, many of them believe that God visited the sin of parents upon their children. But we read in Ezekiel 18 that the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father. But this man was born blind. Jesus said that the works of God might be made manifest. In other words, he was born blind for a purpose, and I don't question the mind of God why it happened. There was a reason for it, and God was going to show them the reason. He opened his eyes, he made spittle, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he was able to see for the first time. But he saw the great wonder of God. The human body. Sight. In John 9 and verse 25, he said, "One thing that I know, though I was blind, now I see." We know that we all ought to take care of our vision. We would not want to deliberately mar our vision. And don't ever take it for granted. But I'm going to tell you, the gift of sight is a great gift from God for the human body. It is. It is a wonderful thing. Think about how horrible it would be to be blind, not to be able to see. The wonder of the human eye. But think about how horrible it is to be spiritually blind. But then there is the gift that we call the gift of hearing. You ever noticed how often Jesus used that word in his ministry? He said, "Take heed that you hear, take heed what you hear." Over and over he would say, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what God has to say." The ability to hear is a great and wonderful gift of God. It is. Some people have problems hearing. They do. I had a man in this congregation several years ago. I walked up to him and he had gotten a new hearing aid and he was bragging about it and he was talking about how wonderful it was. And I asked him, I said, "What kind is it?" And he said, "Oh, it's about 10 after 10. You know, you can get the finest hearing aid in all of the world, and it still may not be able to resolve your issue, your problem, and your inability to hear. But if you can hear today, be thankful unto God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You know, sometimes we listen to the wrong things, do we not? We do. We ought to put our ears to those things that we need to hear. Jesus said, "Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord." Paul said in the book of Romans 10 and verse 17, "Take heed, not only that you hear, but take heed how you hear." Luke 8 and verse 18, that is, you're listening this morning. You may be hearing my voice, but are you taking heed how you hear? That is, are you going to implement in your life what God says that you ought to be putting into your life? That's how you take heed how you hear. For faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. In the book of Proverbs 4 and verse 10, Solomon said, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." You know what? I'm convinced, and when we're doing the will of God, the longevity of our life increases. I really believe that. Now, I know there are certain reasons why God takes us out of this world, but it's like being obedient even to your parents. Didn't Paul say, "Obey your mother and your father that your life may be long upon this earth"? That the longevity has something to do with the way that you respond to parental instruction. We often take our ability to hear for granted. We do. Sometimes people hear, but they don't hear. You ever heard people? Maybe you say it to your mate. Maybe you say it to your husband, to your wife. You say something to them, and later you say, "Well, I didn't hear you." They heard you, but they didn't hear you. It's kind of like Jesus when he spoke to the Pharisees and the scribes. They heard him, but they didn't hear him. Take heed how you hear. Do you know that most people take their hearing for granted? That is, until they lose it. until it is gone. But blessed, Jesus says, are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. Matthew 13 and verse 16. How blessed you are. Sometimes we never measure on the scale of spirituality whether we're hearing the Word of God. You see, I think in reality what Christ was saying is that you hear it, but do you heed it? Do you do what I ask you to do? And that's why he said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. The gift of hearing comes from our God who is in heaven, and what a wonderful gift it is. That is the gift of the human ear. But then there's another one, touch. You know, embracing one another, loving one another. How many of you hugged your wife this morning? How many of you hugged somebody else's wife? How many of you got the wrong woman? How many of you gave your wife a kiss before you left this morning? One person. Thank you, Jeff. Dwight? Oh, Truman. You don't even have a wife, Andrew. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The gift of touch. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Sometimes when we are hurting and someone puts their arm around us to show us their love and their compassion, the human touch. Jesus, in the book of Mark 1 and 41, reached out his hand and touched the man who was blind. He would not only touch the blind, he would not only restore hearing to the deaf, he would reach out and touch the lame and allow them to get up and to walk. He would touch those who had been implanted and incarcerated in their grave and bring them back to life. Numerous examples in the Bible. Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, in John chapter 11. Think about this. Without the ability to touch, you couldn't use your iPhone or your iPad. By the way, do you have it off this morning? In the book of Matthew 9:20, Jesus said, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and she touched. Here's the importance of the human touch. She touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus says, the virtue has gone out of me. You see, he knew the importance of the human touch. Sometimes a warm embrace or a touch from another changes a depressed heart into a joyful one. Doesn't it? We've all been there. We understand the importance of human touch. What a wonderful of such a blessing from God. But then there's the gift of taste. You know that God created you with your taste buds? He did. He did. And it is a great wonder of God. Are you hungry already? If that doesn't make you hungry, this will. We know how important it is to eat. And to eat good food. Food that is palatable. Food that tastes good unto us. He made animals with the ability to taste. This guy looks like he's overindulging to me. I don't know. But anyway, in Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus answered, however, and said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see what I'm getting at? All of the spiritual implications and all of the spiritual analogies of the human body. Jesus said that we're to open our eyes to see. We are to open our ears that we may hear. We are to listen. We are to taste the word of God. David said, your word is like honey to my lips. And he says in Psalms 34 and verse 8, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. The wonder of taste. But then there is the gift of feelings. You know, we never really think about that so much as a sense, but it really is, isn't it? The gift of feelings, we all have them. We do. And in the book of 2 Thessalonians 2:16, Paul says, "Now may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and has given us eternal comfort, and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen you in every good work and word." You know why God comforts us? It's because of our feelings. We all have feelings. We do. We understand the importance of feelings and why they're truly a wonder of God. We always say to one another, don't we? Here it is. How are you feeling? I've asked a number of people that today. But some people do not feel good. They feel broken. They feel hurt. But we all have feelings. We have mixed feelings about certain things. I hear people say that all the time. I have mixed feelings about certain things. How many of you ever had your feelings hurt? Know what that means and knows what it's like? Sometimes we have good feelings within us, and that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes we have sad feelings. It may be the death of a loved one or a divorce or problems with your children. They are sad feelings, but I know one thing. Some people say you can turn your feelings off, but that's not as easy as it sounds, is it? Some people say, well, you know, you can just turn your feelings off and just don't think about it, but it doesn't go away. It's not as easy as the flip of a switch, folks. It isn't. Because sometimes our feelings run very deep. They do. We have numerous feelings in our heart and in our mind, and that's really where they are. Stressful feelings, trouble feelings, doubts, fears, worries, frustrations. We could go on, and we can never put that puzzle together. We have bored feelings. We're sad, we're happy, we're angry, we're tired. We could just go on. There are a litany of feelings that we have within our spirit. David said in Psalms 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Did you know that fear is a feeling? It is. "For you are with me, and your rod and your staff," here it is, "you comfort me," my feelings. I'm not fearful. I don't have that feeling of fear because you comfort me. And you know what? The Bible says that God is our comforter. The Holy Spirit was a comforter. But the Bible says that God comforts us. Here's the thing. That we may comfort one another. That's what he says to the Corinthian church. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, we're challenged. Peter said to cast your cares on him because he cares for you. He's concerned about your feelings. Doesn't he make you feel good in life when someone says, "Hey, I know how you feel"? They may not know how you feel. But what they're saying, what they're trying to communicate, is I want you to know that I'm right there with you. Isn't that what the book of Romans says we ought to do? That we're to rejoice with those that rejoice and that we are to weep with those who weep, folks. That's what the Christian life is really all about, isn't it? God is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. And then I like Paul's words here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing at this moment." Encourage one another daily, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 3 and verse 13. Why? Because we all get down. We do. And we need an uplift. We need encouragement. I don't know of anybody that doesn't need it. And that is the wonder of human feelings. And you know what? Sometimes people tell us, oh, don't feel that way. Again, that's not easy to do, is it? It's not easy to write it off. And everybody is entitled to their feelings. What's your mood today? Which one best describes you? And don't look at your mate. Two guys were talking one day, and one man said to the other, did you wake up grouchy today? And he said, no, I just let her sleep. Each day presents new opportunities to love and bless other people. A smile, a kind word, encouragement, prayer, gift, a hug. We are empowered to make a difference in the lives of other people. We are. I heard about a woman one time who had set up a blind date for her ex-boyfriend. Can you imagine? Real thoughtful, wasn't it? A friend said to her, that was real nice of you to set up a blind date for your ex-boyfriend. She said, I know, but I don't hold any grudges. I'm surprised he trusted you enough and agreed to go out with this girl. She said, well, I had to swear it to him. She was Jennifer Lopez's double. Wow, is that true? She said, yes, I wouldn't lie. She's twice her age and twice her weight. Many times people base their relationship to God upon their feelings. Sometimes it's on faith, sometimes it's on fact. But in reality, shouldn't it be all three in reality and one sense? But then there is the gift and the blessing and the wonder of laughter. You know, isn't it wonderful to laugh? You just laughed a while ago. Some of you that didn't laugh, we'll tell the joke to you after church. Maybe you'll get it then. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 4, Solomon said, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn. There is a time to laugh. Solomon said, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Listen to the book of Job 8 and verse 21. He will fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. You know, I love to laugh. Do you know that medical science has proven that laughter does wonders to the human body? You remember a man by the name of Norman Cousins who had cancer? Norman Cousins, it looked as though it was pretty dismal for him. And someone suggested, you know, doesn't the Bible say that a merry heart does good like medicine? He says, you know, that's right. He went out and bought all the slapstick comedies he could possibly find. Three Stooges, remember those? You remember the Three Stooges, don't you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He went out and he bought the Three Stooges. He played them over and over and over again. Laurel and Hardy. Good laughter. And he says he laughed himself into healing. It is a proven fact that little endorphins are released in the brain when we laugh, and that those endorphins lead to healing within the human body. Solomon again in Proverbs 17 and verse 22 says that a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The gift of laughter. Proverbs 15 and 13, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. I like to see cheerful faces. Someone said you don't have to tell how you live each day, whether you work or you pray, for a tried true barometer serves in its place. What you wear in your heart, you wear on your face. And it's true, isn't it? Life is too short to be serious all the time. It is. I think the ones that didn't laugh a while ago finally got it. So if you can't laugh at yourself, call me and I'll come over and laugh at you. The wonder of laughter. That is the wonder of the human body. It's a great gift of God. But then there's one last one. That is the gift of love. It is. In 1 Corinthians 16:14, Paul says, "Let all that you do be done in love." You know, anger and hate dig holes. They do. They dig holes in your life. And they will dig a bigger hole because, listen, if you harbor hatred and anger in your heart, you will eventually go to your grave. And sometimes you go prematurely. Because bitterness destroys you and it eats away at your spiritual fiber, folks. But love and kindness are the things that move mountains. So we have to choose our motivation wisely, do we not? You know, love's a wonderful thing. It is. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because He first loved us. He taught us how to love." You see, Jesus was in the human body just like we are. He could see, He could taste, He could feel, He could hear, He could see, just like us. No wonder He could identify with us. When it comes to love, He even taught in the book of John 13:33-34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." You must, He says, love one another as I have loved you. I like when John writes to the early church these words in 1 John 4:7-8. "Beloved, let us not love one another, or beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God," and notice this, "and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." There is nothing more profound than those words right there. God has made you to love. And to even love the unlovable. To love even the unlovable. You know, when people do wrong, do you still love them? Do you? Do you really love them? Three traveling salesmen one time were broken down in front of a fruit farm, and they asked to spend the night. And the farmer says, "Yes, you may spend the night, but you may not speak to my daughter, for you will face the consequences if you do." And the three men agreed. Of course, none of them can resist talking with this beautiful daughter, and the farmer is incensed by all of it. And he forces the three men to go out into the fields and pick 10 pieces of the fruit that they like. The first guy comes back with grapes, and the farmer holds a shotgun on him and says, "Okay, now start stuffing those grapes up your nose." And the man does it. The second guy came back with cherries, and the farmer tells him the same thing, whereupon the second man burst out laughing. And the farmer said, "What's so funny to you?" And between giggles, the second guy says, "Well, George, he'll be back in a minute, and he's picking watermelons." How easy is it for you to forgive? How easy is it for you to really love even the unlovable? You know what? God's love really does sustain us, doesn't it? The wonder of love. Obedience to God is an expression of our love for God, isn't it? It's what Jesus said in John the 14th chapter. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he said in verse 21, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Let me ask you today, how grateful are you? And next time you want to complain about your human body, I want you to think about this lesson. I want you to think about the fact that God has blessed you with who you are. There may be some things about your body you'd like to change. But sometimes we can't. And we have to accept one another for who we are. You know, God challenges our mind, doesn't He? In the book of 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, the apostle writes and says, "For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel?" You know, that's a serious thought, isn't it? How much do you love God this morning? How much you really love Him? You just love Him in word, or do you love Him in deed and truth? Now, that's what John says we ought to do, is to love Him in deed and truth. Do you love Him enough to use those gifts that God has given unto you for His glory? For your eyes to be able to see the lost, to reach out to them, with your ears to hear the cries of the hurting, with those who have feelings of depression, can you reach out with your gift of feeling to touch their lives? With the gift of taste, can you taste that the Lord, He is good? So many gifts of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I hope this morning that you will appreciate not only the body that God has given you, but that the spirit which is within. He has given us of our spirit whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And this morning, if you really love and appreciate God for who you are and how God made you, I hope that you'd yield your life unto Him. If this is true, and I believe it is, that the time has come for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if you're not a Christian, when the Lord comes again, what will happen to you? It's so important that a person yield his life in baptism for the remission of sins. Did you know that you're baptizing in reality when one is baptized? All of your body parts. Think about it. All of your body goes under water. And your spirit does too. And God raises your body up in the likeness of Jesus. And He asks us to raise our spirit to the level of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." Philippians chapter 2. I hope this morning that you're prepared to do that. At the command of Jesus, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That salvation was procured at the cross over 2,000 years ago and is still just as efficacious right now as it ever has been. And I invite you, the church invites you, the Holy Spirit invites you to partake of the blood that Jesus shed and to experience the salvation that is available to all while we stand and while we sing.